Let me see some smiles. So little smiles, yes. Oh, when the sun came down and walked this earth a long time ago, to offer us life and take us home, silly man said no. He did the earth warm. Now by that sea of Galilee, he went up to that old rugged cross. God laid down his life for you and me. Y'all help me do this part, but
he did the earth walk.
He came down from above.
He did the earth walk.
To offer us love.
He did the earth walk.
Up there he shed all that blood.
He did the earth walk.
You know that only he could go
he
through
did
that
the earth walk.
Earth walk. Earth walk. Y'all. Before he left, said, follow me. I will lead you home. Silly man just laughed, said, we're still here. I got a girlfriend going, oh. He did the earth walk. Down by that sea of Galilee. He went up to that old rugged cross. God laid down his land for you and me.
He did the earth walk.
God, he came down from above.
He did the earth walk.
To offer us love.
He did the earth walk.
Up there he shed all that blood.
He did the earth walk.
You know that only he could go
he
through that earth
walk.
Earth walk. But y'all, he lived 30 to 35, 33, 37 years. Nobody knows exactly how long. But we all know that when he left, he said, I will be back. Down by the sea of Galilee, he went up to that old rugged cross. My God laid down his life for me. I will never forget it.
He did the earth walk.
My God, he came down from above.
He did the earth walk.
To offer us love.
He did the earth walk.
Up there he shed all that blood.
He did the earth walk.
You know that only he could go
he
through
did
that
the earth walk. Earth walk.
Oh, y'all give God a round of applause, man. Wow. Oh, y'all have a seat. Y'all have a seat. Y'all made me tired, man. Y'all got to get some smiles back there. Hey, y'all, I'm going to tell you what. The group that I just heard, never heard of before in my life, but I'll tell you one thing. Those three were singing as far. Now, guess what? I won't be there with a little clipboard when they finish and cross the finish line and get to heaven. But I believe, from just observing, those three kids were singing about somebody they knew. They weren't singing about some just song somebody taught them a song. Have you ever tried to sing a song to somebody, a love song that you didn't know? Try it. It's very difficult. Try telling somebody you love them when you don't. A lot of us done that too, haven't we? It's just not real. No power there. But man, when you take the time to get to know the Scriptures, you're looking at the Scriptures right there. If, not when, because some of you won't, I know that. But if you, between now and next camp, just decide that we are telling you the truth, and you start spending daily time just getting to know that man right there, next year when we start singing, you'll go, wow, man, what a difference. And that's up to you. Every one of you have time to study the Scriptures. And again, the Scriptures, John 5:39. That's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. It's what I'm going to be talking about probably off and on all week. There's a difference between just learning Scripture and learning doctrine and reading the Word and then it becoming the person of Jesus Christ. And man, once that happens, if that happens, your whole life, it's kind of like... Y'all heard a joke about the chainsaw? About the old two brothers, I think they lived in Arkansas somewhere up on the mountain, never been down to the city. And they lived up there and they'd never been down to the city. And one day they come down to the city and they go by this place to get their old saw sharpened. And this guy's said, "Baby, y'all got one of these?" And they said, "No, look at them. Y'all in the wood pulp business. Y'all need to get one of these." He said, "What is it?" He said, "It's a chainsaw." He said, "I mean, you can chop trees down a lot easier." So they bought them, two of them. They took them back up there. After about 2 months, you know, the old brothers out there sawing one day, and another one said, "You know what?" Said, "This ain't a whole lot easier than before." And the other one said, "You know what? Maybe we need to get them sharpened." So he went back down to the city and took it up to the chainsaw shop, and that guy sharpened them up. And he said, "Well," he said, "man, when are you putting the gas in this thing?" And they said, "Do what?" He said, "When you put the gas in," he put gas in it, cranked that thing up, and said, "What's that noise?" Now, y'all, that's exactly what that's what Bobby Joyner did with his Christianity for 27 years. I had a change. I had the most powerful piece of equipment. The Word of God and the Spirit of God was mine. And I had not plugged in. I had not filled it up. I had not used it. And that's what so many of you, and that's why y'all look at us like these guys either own something or they're getting paid a lot of money. Y'all, we're excited because of who and what He is and what He's done and what He's left for us. And I've had the best time. Some of you know that since this camp last year, I grew up singing. Loved singing all my life. I've got a terrible, I don't know what it is, just coming out here yesterday. I think it's when you change climates, the allergies get you. But man, I could hardly even talk this afternoon. That's why none of you saw me. I just tried to hang out. But it hadn't gotten any better. But I'm going to still try to sing a little bit this week. But I have learned since Thanksgiving, a good buddy of mine, Eddie Carswell, invited me to come be a part of New Song. Eddie and I met back in college when I was doing nothing but rock and rolling, and he was doing nothing but rock and rolling, and he got saved. And he started writing Christian music 25 years ago, and he took God's idea, he took God's word, and wrote a new song, and the basic churches, a lot of churches that he was affiliated with, they just said, "You can't sing that kind of music in the churches." And he was ostracized, criticized, but that fella, he stuck with it. It's been 25 years now, and God has blessed him with 19 number one Christian hits. And I've been hanging around New Song for a long time, as a lot of you know. My son-in-law sings and plays with them. But Thanksgiving this year, I joined up with them. We went on a 19-city tour, and they call it the Christmas Blessing Tour. We came probably pretty close to some of you. And then right after Christmas, we went on a 31-city. It was called Winter Jam. And people, I am telling you, what I saw music do to younger people. Now I don't know what it did to the older people, but the younger people we saw. They estimated we played before probably 300,000 people, and estimated that there were about 7,000 decisions for Christ during this little short time span. Now, I don't know what other people are doing for Christ. Guess what? God's not into numbers. He's into you. But He's got a you here and a you here and a you here. That's three yous. God is into you. He's not interested in how many, how much. He's interested in you. But I saw, God said He's going to draw you to Himself. I believe with all my heart that what you just saw here, these young people, and what you're seeing now in Christian music, you're seeing God use music to draw people. Now, it's the Word and the Spirit that actually does the saving and everything else, but the music. I want to just tell you real quick, our first stop was Louisville, Kentucky. We went to a church, I call it a mega church, 10,000 plus members. Now, it was my first one, and I'm thinking, man, this is going to be... Man, I don't even want to walk in this church. I like little small things. But New Song got up and did their thing. I got to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I had no clue, one of the young men that came and started talking to us after it was over, was the head pastor's son, who the head pastor had brought the boy up in, just like I had been brought up. I was brought up in a Baptist church, and I just did what they told me to do. Everything they told me to do, I learned to do it. I learned to do it, and they thought, boy, this boy's saved. I was not as saved as this podium. Neither was this young man. And his daddy was the most shocked person when his 15-year-old boy came up and told us, it just clicked. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Man, the daddy just was in tears. He was so... But it was the music. The young man admitted it was the music. He said he saw people having fun and enjoying the music, and they were singing about this man. He said, you know, I don't have that kind of relationship. So he gets saved, and all the preachers, when we pulled out, that old bus pulled out, that preacher was just sitting there with his son. Now his son is saved. And he was one happy man. We went to Michigan, And we went up there to do a cancer benefit for a young man, about a 25-year-old, Mr. Everything. He was the quarterback. He was a good-looking guy, and he had cancer, and we were going to raise money to help pay some of the expenses because his dad owned a business. This was a Christian business. They made cabinets and electrical appliances. And it was every day at lunch they took a 15-minute break for Bible study. A Christ-centered business, and when you came to apply, we asked them, how can you get around these? He said, well, they can just shut us down. This is what we're going to do. When you come to apply, you don't have to be a Christian, but you read the company policy. And company policy was, you understand we are Christians. You understand we have a Bible study at 15 minutes. You don't have to attend, but we will stop for 15 minutes every day at lunch. We will not ask you, put any pressure on you, but if you become antagonistic toward what we're doing, you no longer have a job with us. And they are leading. This business has got 300-400 employees, and they're leading people to the Lord. Man, when I went, God, man, I met the guy. He's the most dynamic, but he's real. He looked kind of like that guy right there. I said, man, you look like Jesus. He put on this thing for his son, who 3 days before we got there passed away. And both the father and Eddie and Newsong said, we're going to come anyway. We're going to do it in memory, in his honor. But God is bigger than death. Let me promise that, and to all you young people, you're going to die. There's one thing. It's the only thing that we're all going to do. Every one of us is going to die. That young man had a phenomenal entrance into heaven. But after the concert, guess who came up and received Christ as their personal Savior? His two younger prodigal son brothers. But the music is what, I mean, the music was just so down. I mean, it's powerful. And it's all New Song's music is about Jesus Christ. But it is, makes it so real. And they got all the pictures and the TV. I mean, y'all, this is the way Satan's getting them on MTV and everything. He uses all that stuff. All this stuff, pictures and all this stuff comes from God. It's been perverted. But kids, they get spoken to. Music is a bridge. That's all it is. What you carry across that bridge is the message. And the message that the music that a lot of our kids listen to, and the reason being is because we won't let them listen to, remember, I think a lot of us do now, but there's a lot of still places that we'd go that they just said, you can't come in here and play all these loud guitars and loud drums. And I'm thinking, what script did you get that from? All right. The neatest thing, we were in, not Cincinnati, Ohio. Where's Ohio State University? Columbus. Packed out that whole auditorium. I don't know, it holds about 17,000 people. There was a motorcycle gang. I saw them come in, all dressed in. They came really just, I reckon, just to be a distraction. All, you know, they're sitting over in a group. And man, I just picked out this one girl. She was sitting there. She was just miserable looking. And during the whole concert, I would just sit and I would just pray. When we presented Christ as Savior, which we make it very clear that it's Christ and Christ alone. It's not about joining a church. It's not about baptism. It's about Christ and Christ alone. And I just began looking at her. And all of a sudden, after all the music now, this little girl just stands up. And I could just tell. I mean, I just went, oh my goodness. I cannot believe this girl is that bold. One of her girlfriends tried to pull her back down, and she did it like that. And she stood up just like this. And I went over there and I took her and we walked back. This is where we have our little, we want them, they don't have to come forward. We tell them that you don't get saved by coming forward or going backwards or standing up. We just want to talk to you. We want you to tell us who you are. We get their addresses, their email addresses, and we send them information. We give them not only the gospel, we give them stuff to grow on. And y'all put New Song on your prayer, because I'm telling you, New Song is reaching thousands. This little girl going, as we walked back, just the night before, we had an 11-year-old girl came up, 11 years old, received Christ as Savior, and she opened her little pocketbook up, and right there in front of us, she pulled out a little pocket knife and a long piece of glass. She says, I won't need this anymore. And as most of you young people, a lot of you, some of you people, cutting. Kids are so miserable. They are so lost. They are so lonely. They have nothing left to feel except they get a feeling out of cutting themselves. It is an epidemic. Thousands upon thousands. It got so big that we got a psychiatrist to come and talk to the group of musicians and tell us, what do you tell these people? Because these people are desperate. Now, some of it's for attention, but some of it's dead serious stuff. And this little 11-year-old girl, she said, "Now I have a reason to live. I won't need these." Had a 25-year-old youth pastor. Good-looking guy. Looked like Mr. Athlete. He came up, reached in his pocket, and he said, "Well, I'm tired of playing games." And I put my arms in. "Well, we all play a few." He said, "No, you don't know what I'm talking about." He said, "Man, I'm telling all these young people this, that." And he said, "I'm giving this up." And he pulled out a marijuana pipe and said, "Here, take this. I'm through. I cannot play both sides of the game. It's illegal. If it's illegal, it's sin. I cannot do." And man, I'm sitting there. And this guy was, he looked like a second lieutenant in the Marines. But he was playing a game with God, trying to talk to the young people and trying to do something that is totally, just kept him out of fellowship. So, and the reason I'm telling you all this, just music is the vehicle that caused all this to happen. It drew the people. When we went to Colorado Springs, I don't know how many people that civic center will hold, but it's about 20,000, and they turned away 2,000 people that were angry. 2,000 Christians wanted to get in and praise God, and they didn't have room. God is doing a new thing, and it won't be long. I don't think it's going to last long, and we need to get in on this. The wave is breaking. It's not going to break long. But we, pastors and you young, we need to get involved in getting out and reaching our young people, because right now they're moving. They're hungry. They're seeking and searching. But this one guy, we went to Panama City Beach, Florida, and came in, did the same thing. I saw him come in. He was about 65 years old. I said 65. He might have been. He looked like he's 85. But you could tell he was just, sin had sucked the life out of him. I spotted him just coming in like you could. He just came in and just sat down. All concert. He didn't do anything. I kind of couldn't see because all the people standing up. He never stood up till right toward the end. Finally, when it was over, we were packing up. 2 hours later, I looked out and he was still sitting right in the same seat with a smile on his face bigger than this building. And we went up and started talking to him. He, 20 years ago, was the wealthiest man in Panama City Beach, Florida. Multi-millionaire. Had a huge home on acreage there on the ocean. And he got involved in immorality, like, you know, again, we've all either thought about it. This guy got into it big time, got into the drugs and the alcohol as a 50-year-old, very successful guy, lost every single thing. And before, as we pulled into town, he was living under the bridge in Panama City Beach, Florida. Lost it all. And just wandered in there because of the music. And man, he couldn't thank. All he could say is, "Thank you. Thank you. I just want to thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you." And hey, I'm believing that some of you wandered in here just like that guy. You've had it all or you've had nothing. And you're miserable. But you fake it. And hopefully the music, the word, the fun, the fellowship, just the camaraderie of God's people is going to just open your... I ask y'all, would you at least, if you're not already a Christian, would you at least just say, "God, okay, I don't know if you're there or not. I don't know if you're real or not, God. But I'm asking you, if you're real, I want you to reveal yourself to me this week." If you will do that, that's called seeking. God said you'll find Him. Now, you won't find a religion. You won't find a church. This is the church. If all of us that are believers, this is the church right here. And I want to read you a passage that, but if you don't believe, after I saw this come to light right before my very own eyes, just in a period of 3 months. When you see all it on television, it's not as real. But when you get out and you get to hobnob with these hurting people, tell me this is not the truth. But know this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this. In the last days, perilous, troublesome, painful times will come. Men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now write that, verse 2, that is why it's going to be impossible for 2/3 of y'all to move out of the way and start loving Christ first and others first, because you are a lover of yourself. But guess what? It's not your fault. You're the only one that's ever loved you. You don't know how this man, Jesus Christ, can step out of the Scriptures this week and love you. So, again, just just at least say, okay, I'm going to open the door. Just crack it open. Just crack the door. Music cracks the door to your soul. Crack the door to your soul and just ask, God, if you're real, would you step into my soul this week through what I've heard, what I see, what I experience? There will be unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control. See, a person that can't control himself has to be controlled by something else. Sex, drugs, sports, education. Several of you are just into I've got a letter. This young girl, she was at this camp back, when we first started. She's a mother of two children now, and I just got a letter last week from her. And she basically said that she came up in a doctrinal home. Some of you, if you got the Jesus Cafe, you've just been reading some of it. She came up in a church where her daddy and her mama grabbed her and her brother, and that's what you need to do. Cared them, made them go to church. They made them listen to a tape a day to keep the devil away. It was all this doctrinal stuff, which is the Word of God is doctrine, is truth. But the daddy was not modeling it. He was preaching it and shoving it down their throats, but he himself was not modeling it in the home 7 days a week. He would only model, he'd grab them. And he, in fact, was one of the prep school teachers. And if you have never read the book Wisdom Hunter, this guy was the wisdom hunter. This guy. And this little girl grew up. Oh, she played the little game. She knew how to do it. She was scared to death. Scared of her daddy. And she grew up, went to Russia with us, one of our first two mission trips. But she admitted, she says, I was just saying, and I knew what to say, I knew how to say it, I knew how to trick everybody, including my husband. And about 5 or 6 years into that marriage, it began to just... And finally she said she had to go back to the basics. And she said, Bobby, one song you sang, I forgot what she said, at some camp, she said, it finally clicked with me that all of this was this man right here, Jesus. And she said, I went back to that, and she says, y'all, this is what I want to ask y'all to do. She said, I forgave my dad. I forgave my mom. And she said, the hardest person to forgive was me. God says he has taken everything you and I have thought, said, or done, and he has buried it. He says, I don't even remember where it is. Y'all, we are free. We are clean. He has given that to you. Now, you have got to receive this. You've got to receive it for yourself. Apply it to your soul. Only the forgiven can forgive. You can't forgive another person until you have forgiven yourself. And the only reason you can forgive yourself is because God said, I have forgiven you. Now, once He forgives you, you either take it or leave it. Once you take it, then you can take it and give it to those who have done you wrong. So I want to do this song. The reason I decided to do this song is every new song concert they do this song. And boy, when they get this song, my soul, from the time this song is over, I'm on another spiritual plane. I wish I could get there without it, and sometimes I do. But this song puts me wherever I am. And I hear this every night. You know, when we go into, I never get tired of good songs. By the way, I know some of you say, well, he sings that every. I'm not going to ever quit singing it as long as I'm alive. Because it does, I'm singing it to Him, and it does something to lift me up. Hopefully and prayerfully, it will lift some of you up, because it's about the end times, y'all. This Bible is basically a rule book. It's a letter. It's a love letter from God to us, and basically it says, "I started it, I will end it. All of you have screwed it up mortally in between. You're nothing but a mass group of failure." But if you will come and do it my way, I will wash you cleaner than anything, take you home, and we will live forever. And then I'll start explaining all the what-ifs and the whys and all that. But in the meantime, just trust me. That's what the Bible does. Old prisoner told me, B-I-B-L-E, basic information before leaving earth. It's exactly what it is. Basic information, because you're leaving. Every one of you are leaving, and you're going to one or two destinations. But everybody's going to stop by and speak to the Creator before you go to one of these two places, by the way. You're going to all check in with the guy who wrote this book, God. The game It started about, well, it really doesn't matter, but the game started probably 5,000 to 7,000 years ago, and we're in the fourth quarter, and we don't have much time left, because look, if you read what it's talking about in the end times, and check it out, what's happening, the tornadoes, the earthquake, the hurricanes, the earthquakes are I don't know how it can get any clearer, y'all. We don't have a lot of time, but guess what? We're still in the game. You can be first string, or you can be a bench sitter, or you can be part of the enemy. If you're an unbeliever, you're an enemy. If you, sitting right where you're sitting right now, if you've never personally, just at one second, received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, young person, older person, you are an enemy of a man that has never won nor will ever lose a single war. You're not going to win. And you will lose eternally. Not just, well, I'm not going to. Well, okay. But I just want to let you know, he's undefeated and untied. But he was asking you, would you like to join the winning team? That's all it's just an invitation. He wants you, but he doesn't need a dadgum one of us. He's asked me, Bobby, would you like to be involved? At the age of 12, I joined the family. But it was about 25 years ago that I finally decided, I'm tired of sitting on the bench. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And some of you, I hope and pray that this camp will be that time when you finally said, I've heard all that. I know I'm a Christian, but now I want to start. I want to be a starter. I do not want to sit on the bench and cheer for people on this court. That is no fun. If any of you guys or girls ever done it, it is no fun. Hopefully, this camp will just be that little thing that does it for you. Get this song going. Again, I don't know what the, you know, here's the prophecy that I read. It's sad I don't read the newspapers much anymore, because this is a lot more interesting. We win in this. The newspapers, it looks like we're losing. Read the last part of it. We win. There's a game plan in here for you. And every single day, you got to get up and get ready to play. That's what this song's about. Think about your life. Think about your casket. Think about the people standing over as they lower you in the. Hey, think about it. It's happening. It's going to happen. And you can rejoice right now and say, I win. If
people get ready, there's a train coming. Don't need no ticket, you just get on board. Faith is the key, but put your faith in Jesus. If you want to get to heaven, you got to know. You got to know. You got to know the Lord. Hey, do you know my Lord? So people get ready. Don't you know that his train coming? Picking up passengers. Whoa, from coast to coast. Simple faith is the key. Just open the door and board up. There's room for everyone. But you got to know. You got to know the Lord. Tell me, do you know my Lord?
Father, it's so good to be starting out another camp. And we never know when you're coming. But we know we're going to get ready. I know I'm going to get ready every day. Because your word said, Bobby,
there just ain't no room for that habitual sinner who tries to use all mankind to try to save his old doggone soul. Had pity on those who ever gave the chance growing thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the King and his blood. to think about telling where you're going to run, where you're going to hide when Jesus comes back to call his bride. Hey, every day you get the shadow. Now listen, he's calling. My child, get ready. There's a king coming. Pick up his passengers from coast to coast. All you need is faith, but you got to put your faith in Mr. Jesus. If you want to get to heaven, he's the only way. But I want to thank, I want to thank my ever knowing, my ever loving. I just want to get up and thank my Lord. Lord, yes, sir. I love to thank you. I love to get to know you. Lord, I get a kick out of just showing you, knowing you, loving you, singing you. We want to thank you. We want to know you, Lord, but we want to know you better. We got to thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, if you got...